It's time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
That's right. Cue the party music. Let the celebration begin, because today is the 200th episode of the Vintage Truth Podcast. And wow, 200 times I have come to this microphone and given you God's vintage truth. Wow, it's really gone by, it's gone by fast. And that's kind of the theme of this podcast today. I want to share with you for this 200th episode, I was trying to come up with what would be a really good 200th episode to talk about. It's sort of a milestone episode here. So in thinking about it, I have decided to talk about one thought that will change everything for you. Just one thought. You know, sometimes life hinges on one event or one thought or one experience. And sometimes it's just one perspective that changes the way that you view everything in life. And this one thought I'm going to share with you today is going to do that. It's going to help you from here, literally, to eternity. And I want to share that with you today. Here it is. You ready? You know, there's a phrase that people used to use. I don't hear it as much these days as I used to, but the phrase went something like this, is that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And, you know, if you think about that, what does that really mean? That some people's thoughts are so onto the next life that they're no good to anyone in this life. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know a whole lot of Christians like that. I don't know a whole lot of Christians that are thinking about eternity to the exclusion of life here on earth. In fact, I think it's just the reverse. Most of the Christians that I know of in the world, they think more about this life than they do about the next life. They think more about earthly things than they do heavenly things. They think more about material realities than they do spiritual realities. They think more about temporal things than they do about eternal things. And so here is the one thought I think could and should change everything for you, and it's this. This world is not my home. Did you get that? This world is not my home. Now, I know you have a home. I have a home here. But this is not our home. This is really just a rental property. It's just a hotel. It's just a temporary dwelling. In fact, even the body that you're living in right now is temporary. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that one day this corruptible body is going to put on incorruptible, imperishable body, and you're going to be given a glorified body. I want to explain what this concept, what this perspective means when we say this world is not my home. Well, let's just begin with Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul gives us a little bit of an insight into this. I won't go into the context of the passage, but I'm going to look at this one verse in verse 20. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. You know, I was in the Philippines this summer, and while I was there, loved being there, absolutely fell in love with my brothers and sisters there in the Philippines. But you know, the whole time I was there, I'm living out of a suitcase. I'm living in a hotel. I'm not living in my home. And I could not wait, as it is for all the trips I take. I can't wait to get back on that airplane and begin my journey back home. And there's several little milestones. If you've traveled, you know this. You go from airport to airport, and then finally you land in your home airport, and you're like, yes, You put your feet on that ground, you walk outside the airport terminal, you head towards your car. Oh, it's feeling so good. But even that doesn't compare to opening the front door of your house and rolling your luggage inside and just going, I'm home. I'm home. And that's what this life is. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship is in America when I'm traveling. But my real citizenship is in heaven. That's where my home is. In fact, Jesus says in John 14, verses 1 through 3, he's preparing a home for me there. My eternal home will be with Jesus. It says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just like we're living here on the planet and we're just kind of like, yeah, la-di-da, and at some point Christ will come. But I'm not really thinking about that right now. Apparently, Paul wanted the church at Philippi to eagerly await. That's what you feel when you're on your way home. You're eagerly awaiting. So it's not just we're waiting for Jesus to come back. No, no, we really, really want him to come back and to rescue us. So our citizenship is in heaven. That's part of that perspective there. And, you know, our lives are so short. Our lives are like a moment. It's like a blip. It's like a dot. It's like a tiny dash on the line of eternity. If you were to stretch eternity in a line backwards and forwards, I mean, eternity, infinity, right? Doesn't end, never ends. But your life and my life, let's say God gives us 90 years. My dad lived to be 91. But even that, it's just a tiny, infinitesimally small dash on eternity. Life is short. It's something I tell every person who attends a funeral that I do. All the funerals that I've ever done, I've always reminded people that life is short. And one day, our lives here will come to an end. James 4:14 says this. He says, don't get talking about what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't even know what your life's going to be like tomorrow. He says, but for our life is like a mist or like a morning fog that arises in the morning, but then it's gone by noonday. That's what our lives are ethereal. They're temporal. They're not permanent here. Just like a mist. And, you know, while we're here on this planet, you know, some people can kind of go off. This is where that phrase comes in, no, so heavenly minded, no earthly good. You can go off into an extreme thinking that nothing here does matter. No, it matters that you're here. I mean, you need to mow your lawn and clean your house and go to your job and all those. These are all temporal things, but they're necessary things. And I kind of looked at it in two categories because some Christians can kind of like, oh, well, in that case, nothing is important here that we do. No, 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 that's not true. And two perspectives you need to keep in mind. Number one is that God has given every good thing to us, James 1:17, as a gift to enjoy. Ecclesiastes 2, to enjoy. So if you have anything, if you have something, it's not wrong to have something. God wants you to enjoy that. If you have a nice house, enjoy the house. If you have a great view from your yard, or if you have a boat or a cabin somewhere, enjoy. God wants you to enjoy that. It's fine to do that. The second perspective on material things is that they're also tools. You know, God has given us, he has blessed us. And when God has blessed us, then we can use those blessings as tools to bless others. And that's what he wants us to do. And so if God has given you material things, yes, he wants you to enjoy those material things, but you can also, at your discretion, let others enjoy it as well. I mean, the same is true for money. I mean, God has given some Christians more resources financially than he has given other Christians. And yet God wants us to use that money as a tool, you get that? As a tool to help further the cause of Jesus Christ and to help people. And to help people. They're just tools. Someone once said that money is a horrible master, but it's an awesome slave. That's exactly what money is. Money is the slave and you are the master. Now, I know that there are people taking your money every month that you don't have a choice over. You got to pay the mortgage. You got to pay the light bill. You got to pay the water bill, all these other things. I get that. But then what God gives us, we are able to use. And that's part of this perspective. I'm not always going to have what I have right now. I'm not. So while I have it, I need to use it. I mean, everything from your health to your house to your resources, your financial resources, you're not always going to have these things for various reasons. You may lose them, or you may die, or you may be raptured. You're not going to have it. So the idea is that there is this window of opportunity that we get to use the blessings that God has given to us. And that's a part of this perspective that the world is not my home. Let me give you another perspective on this that'll really excite you. In Romans chapter 8, and Paul is talking about suffering. In Romans 8:18, he says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us." In other words, it doesn't matter how horrible your life is on this planet in terms of suffering and your lot in life, what you've been given, what you haven't been given. Bottom line is, no matter what you suffer, it's nothing compared to what you're going to get with Jesus eventually. And that is a perspective. And knowing that your life is short, knowing that this world is not your home, helps you understand that then this suffering is not my home. The suffering is not permanent. It's just a temporary glitch. Someone once said, "Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." Well, generally speaking, yes, that's very, very true. There was a commercial that aired many years ago for a pizza company. And the commercial simply asked, "What do you want on your tombstone?" It was Tombstone Pizza. "What do you want on your tombstone?" That's a really profound question if you think about it. I remember reading that Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham, when she died, she had a very, very unique inscription put on her tombstone. Because at the time, in the 70s, there was a, during the time when Billy Graham was really huge, there was this phrase that made its way around the Christian community. And the phrase was this. It says, "Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet." And people made bumper stickers and they had little buttons and all this other stuff. Well, on Ruth Bell Graham's tombstone, this is what the inscription says. Literally, it's on her tombstone. It says, "End of construction, ... Thank you for your patience." Isn't that great? End of construction. Thank you for your patience. And, you know, at the end of our lives, that's going to be the end of the construction. God's going to be finished with what he's doing in this life in us. And we only get one life to allow God to work that in us and to accumulate reward in heaven, which is a whole other topic I won't get into today. But what do you want on your tombstone? You know, when my boys, who are now all grown adults, when they were growing up, occasionally when we would be traveling in different places, we'd take them to historic places and because we wanted them to be exposed to a lot of history. And several of those times we would take them, or I would take them to graveyards, and we would just walk through these old graveyards and see tombstones from the 1700s, 1600s, and you know, some of the inscriptions are kind of faded and their names and their dates and that kind of thing. But we'd look at these things and we'd go to the graveyards of the Charleston churches in Charleston, South Carolina. I took them to Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia, and looked at some of those iconic tombstones. And I would say to them, "Boys, look at these gravestones. Every person here was once a little boy or a little girl. Every person here was once a teenager. Every person here once had before them their entire life, but now their lives here are gone. And you need to know one day I'll be here. I'll be in a graveyard. You'll be in a graveyard if the rapture doesn't happen." And we have to ask ourselves, What are we going to do with this life that's been given to us? And the perspective of knowing that this world is not our home helps us with that perspective. You know, 1 John 2 talks about the fact that the world is passing away and all of its lusts, all of its desires, but he who does the will of God will live and abide forever. Isn't that amazing? Hebrews 13:14 says, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." What about 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18? It says, "While we look now," well, let's go to verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know the phrase, "I'll believe it when I see it"? You know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, you'll see it when you believe it. You have to believe it. You have to believe what God's Word says, and then you'll see what He's going to do. 2 Peter chapter 3 is a sobering passage, but it helps us know that this world is not our home. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and all its works will be burned up." God is going to literally decompose every atom and molecule in this known universe, the earth and the heavens, and they're going to be incinerated in His presence. "Since," he says, Peter, 2 Peter 3, "since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." That's what Revelation chapter 21 is all about, the new heavens and the new earth. Perspective. Perspective. I want to close by reading in Psalm 90. This is, oh man, the wisdom here is just amazing. In Psalm chapter 90, this is what the psalmist says. "Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." That's the eternal perspective there. "You turn man back into dust, and you say, 'Return, O children of men.' For 1,000 years in your sight is like yesterday when it passes by, or a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep in the morning. They're like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and it sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and it withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and your wrath we have been dismayed. And you have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury, and we have finished our years like a sigh. For all the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you?" Then he concludes with this. So, in light of this eternal perspective, teach us to number our days. Teach us to know our life is short and that it is coming to an end one day. Why? That we may present to you a heart of wisdom. In other words, God, because this world is not my home, I can make this life count. Yeah. I can be and I can do during my time here on this planet for you, using all that I am and all the resources that I have to serve you and to glorify you and to store up heavenly reward for myself that I will in turn give back to you because you are so incredibly worthy. Teach us to number our days. My friend, that is a perspective, that is one thought that will change everything. Just know that today, while you enjoy everything you have, this world is not your home. I'll talk to you next time. God bless. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.